You are more. Oh, God, you're more than enough. Mm. I don't care what the doctor said. God, you're more than enough. It doesn't matter what the situation looked like, because God, you are more than enough. Devil, you got to get out of my house, out of my life, out of my marriage, away from my kids, off of my job, because God, you are more than enough. Mm. Oh God, you're more than enough. More than enough. You are more than enough. Come on, sing it with me. You are more than enough. You are more than enough for me. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. That when I was working on the message and Deacon Davis asked me, is there a word? Hey, is there a word from the Lord? I said, you better believe it. When I was working on the word, that song just stayed in my spirit, and it really helped me because the flesh gets tired, and I study a lot, and I read a lot, and I buried myself in my study. I guess my husband thought he was divorced for a while on yesterday because I didn't see him very much yesterday. And on Friday, I buried myself in my study. But it's important that we hear from God. And the one thing that I've got some things that's going on in my life. And the one thing that I am lifting up those things in prayer. It's easy and it's hard to give a word because we can't let the things that we have in the physical affect our hearing from God. And God just quieted my spirit. I just stopped at one point and I just sat quiet in my study, and that song was so in my spirit. And I told Stacy, I said, Stacy, we need to can we do that before the word? He said, that's what we're going to do anyway. And I'm going, all right now, God. So we thank God, because when we line up our lives with the word of God, then our lives are so much richer. When we realize that God is more than enough. If we take our eyes off of our situations and off of our circumstance. If we said we're going to trust God, we need to do one or two things. We need to either trust him or we need not trust him. But we don't need to be talking about it. We need to trust God. Let us pray. Father, it's preaching time, and I thank you, Holy Spirit, for your word. God, I'm a vessel, a servant. I'm just asking, God, if you would just remove this flesh out the way. Because, God, I and your people, we need to see and hear from you. God, it's not about Wanda. Never has been, never will be. I'm just being obedient to you. You told me to go and preach this word. And, God, I'm just asking if you would, Holy Spirit, speak to me as I speak to your people. God, I just need you to cleanse me. I want you to check my life, Lord. And if there's anything, Lord God, that's not pleasing to you, Lord God, if there's any sin, Lord God, that I have not confessed to you and have not repented of, right now I seek cleansing, Lord God. From the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, Lord God. Forgive me for all of my sins and my iniquities and my unrighteousnesses. And God, I ask as a cleansed vessel, if you would fill me with the fruit of your spirit. God, I want to stand before your people with clean hands, God. So I'm just inviting you, Holy Spirit, to continue to energize the atmosphere in this house with your presence. Anoint the ears of the people that they can hear from you. Anoint their minds for understanding your word. Anoint them, God. In the name of Jesus, amen. I'm going to ask if you will stand to your feet. The scripture was already read in your hearing, but we're going to just read a few verses again. In Luke chapter 13. And we're just going to read verses 10 through 13. And I will be reading from the New Living Translation. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Praise God. On Sabbath day, as Jesus was teaching in the synagogue, he saw a woman who had been crippled by an evil spirit. She had been bent double for 18 years and was unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called over and said, "Woman, you are healed of your sickness." Then he touched her, and instantly she could stand straight. How she praised and thanked God. You may be seated in the presence of Almighty God. Paul told the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. He said, "We are pressed on every side by trouble, but we are not crushed and broken. We are perplexed, but we don't give up and quit. We are hunted down, but God never abandons us. We get knocked down, but we get up again, and we keep on going." It amazes me, Midge. I'm going to talk to my sister today because y'all don't like to talk. It amazes me, Midge, that in these troubling times, when we should be coming to God, how so many are seeking refuge everywhere but in God's house. The evidence speaks for itself. I don't want you to look at nobody, but I want you to peruse the house. Look at the empty pews. Go ahead. Go ahead. Take a minute. Look to the front, to the back, to the side. Just act like you ain't seeing nobody. Paul said, "We are pressed on every side by troubles, but..." Y'all heard me just now tell you, God is more than enough. Paul told the church at Corinth, God never abandons us. Midge, the thing that makes my head dizzy because I'm straining my mind trying to understand, if God never abandons us, why do so many Christians in this house abandon him? But then I got it, Midge. I got it. Because this house, Greater Brookville, under the leadership of Pastor Leroy Michael Mitchell III, this house, it's not a social club. We don't do plate sellings, fish fries, fashion shows, concerts, or raising money programs, but we are a house dedicated to God to bring deliverance to the captives. We are a house dedicated to ushering in healing for sickness and disease. We are a house whose bookends are word and prayer. We are a house where the good news of the gospel is taught, it's preached, and it's put into practice. We are a house where the Holy Spirit knows that he can dwell. So, Midge, what happened? Since we not a social club, people feeling got hurt. And they decided not to come to the house. So, Midge, I started studying this thing. And I came to the conclusion that church folk, they don't hang around long enough to become disciples. Let me tell you what they thought. They thought because they got baptized at an early age, they would be exempt from troubles. They thought because they accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior of their lives that they would be exempt from heartache. They thought they, when they presented their bodies a living sacrifice, holy unto God, that they would not have to endure opposition from the enemy. So when God started allowing the enemy to bend them, they didn't like it. So they punked out on God. They chose not to learn. So they missed the opportunity to understand that when greatness is on your life, there is a price you must pay. Tell somebody, bend but don't break. That's what our topic is, bend but don't break. Paul told the church in Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he said, our light afflictions are but a moment. Tell somebody, trouble don't last always. When you and I become afflicted by the pressure of our process, we have a tendency to focus and allow this problem to affect us. In our text, I know y'all thought I forgot it. I didn't forget it. Psych. In our text, a woman, 18 years, bent over. The word says bent over double. But for 18 years, she still pressed her way to God's house. 18 years, she believed one day, I will be healed. One day I will no longer bear this discomfort. How many of you know that in Jesus, you got a one day promise too? One day you're going to hear him. One day you get to touch him. One day you'll let him touch you. One day you'll see him. One day you go to live with him. One day you go reign with him. Him is somebody. One day your breakthrough is coming. Hallelujah in the house. One day. God, I don't see it right now. God, I don't feel it right now. But God, I know one day. You see, before the foundations of the world were called into being, God already made a way for you and I to come out of our situations, to come out of our circumstances, to come out of that tribulation and be victorious. He already made a way. Let me tell you how. Shout Jesus. Tell somebody, anybody, I don't care who it is. Tell them if Jesus can't fix it, nobody can. I like that. The songwriter put it this way. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there is something about that name. And then another songwriter got jealous. So they penned, well, I called him and he heard me and he gave me a peace of mind because he's my shelter and he's my guide. I know he's with me all the time. How many of you know Jesus and God the same one? I don't worry and I don't fret. You know God has never failed me yet. So I'm going to keep on trusting because I know his word is true. He's already done what he said he would do. Hear me, oh, hear me, Jesus. No one, nobody is able to help us like Jesus. No one is prepared to deal with that situation you're going through like Jesus can. No one knows our beginning, knows our end, knows everything happening in the middle but Jesus. No one conquered death like Jesus. No one is going to crack that sky like Jesus will. Nobody is going to change us in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye like Jesus. No one has prepared a place for us like Jesus. No one knows everything, has everything, is everything but Jesus. So when the pressure of this life, when the enemy tossed you to and fro like a rag doll, when life tries to bend you, know that in the name of Jesus, it can't break you. Shout, bend, but don't break. Oh my God. Somebody needs to know this is not the time to give up. Tell somebody, not yet. Because see, I don't know about you, but with all the hell I'm going through right now, I'm talking about Wanda, there is no way Wanda is going to give up on God. It doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter what the devil says. I have made up my mind. I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. Because my God, he specializes in things that seem impossible. And he will do what no other power, because he's Holy Ghost power, can do. Amen. Shout hallelujah in the house. If you need a special blessing, shout God specializes. Glory to God. Tell somebody, this thing might bend me, but I won't let it break me. All right, now y'all talking mighty good right now. Notice that the Bible doesn't say that this woman was born with a curved spine. It doesn't mention how old the woman is at the time of her story. Nor does it mention at what point in her life she was afflicted. The Bible does not specify that this was her first and only visit in the synagogue. And when I did the history, it says this woman was an Israelite. She was a believer. So, Midge, this leads me to believe that this woman knew God. I wonder how many other things God had delivered her from that nobody knew but she and God. How many times in her yesterdays had she cried out to God and God delivered her? Something made her keep coming to that same synagogue Sunday after Sunday. I believe she knew that through many dangers, toil and snares, I've already come, because it was grace that brought me safe thus far, and God's grace is going to lead me home. At some point, y'all, in all of our lives, if God hadn't fixed some of those situations we had to face, if he hadn't fixed some of them problems we had to go through, we would have lost our minds. For many of us, including me, there were some things we really didn't deserve to be delivered from. Because we deliberately, tell the truth and shame the devil, we deliberately walked into some of that mess we went through. But God, I don't know about you, but when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, one, the soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank you, God. I thank you, God. Thank you, God. You saved me. Oh, glory to God. Somebody in here, God brought you through a lot of mess. You need to give God a hand clap of praise. Somebody needs to shout, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because y'all know, we don't have to go that far back into yesterday to see our mess. But God kept giving us a tomorrow. He kept on blessing us. Amen. Somebody, some songwriter said, you can't beat God's giving. Even when we steal from him, even when we lie to him, God has still brought us out of some mess. He still saw fit to cover us in our mess. Amen. I thank you, Jesus. 18 years afflicted. 18 years afflicted. But she never gave up on God. And you can't give up on God. You must see temporary things for what they are. They are just temporary. Paul said these light afflictions. See, they're not going to last always. God will never take us to a valley that he's not able to bring us through. I know what I'm talking about. Jesus promised us an eternity in a glorified body. Look at somebody and tell them no more sickness, no more pain, and no more death. Hallelujah. I'm trying to help you understand that where you are today, you won't always be in that situation. When, like the woman in our text, you press your way. See, we have a problem with pressing. Pressing hurts. Pressing causes us to make sacrifices. We don't like those things. But when you press your way, let me just tell you that your progress is going to be greater than that pressure. I know that many of you are going through some stuff or have gone through some stuff. And if not, keep on living, you will go through some stuff. So I invite you, I welcome you to this thing that we call life. Because I've been there. At 62 years old, I have been through a lot of stuff. If it ain't one thing, if it's not this, I'm trying to move forward and the situation is trying to pull me back. Some of y'all know where I'm at. I'm trying to move up and the circumstance holding me down. Pay the mortgage, furnace go out. Pay the car note, washer break down. Fix the brakes on the car, alternator gone. Pay off your credit card, get laid off from work. Shout, bend, don't break. That's right. Bend, don't break. Some of you remember Miss Job. I know you thought it was Job, but it's Miss Job. Miss Job told Mr. Job, she said, look, boy, you need to curse God and die. Job looked at Sister Girl and he said, you sound like a crazy woman. Tell somebody, you better recognize. See, you will find out that people's influence can cause you to give up on God. But I'm so glad that Job had enough sense to speak up and say, you sound like a crazy woman. Look at somebody and tell them, you sound crazy. Give up on God. Please. 18 years. Think about it. 18 years of being ostracized. But this woman didn't let them get to her emotionally. When you wear your feelings on the outside, they easily hurt. You become offended. And when you get offended, it affects your ability to hear from God. So then you're operating in the flesh. Here's your first freebie, because y'all know I always give you something free. First freebie. Don't allow your afflictions to become your distractions. I need you to talk to me a little bit. Because see, in order for us to be effective, we need to put the devil on notice about some things. And then we also need to put ourselves on notice about some things. So right now, I want you to shout to the devil, you can't have my mind. I have been bought with a price. I am a royal priesthood. I chosen generation. I will not let you move me out of the will of God. I might bend, but I refuse to break. Oh my God, my God. Tell him again. I might bend, but I refuse to break. That's right. Tell him like you mean it. Say what you mean and mean what you say. The devil has no power but what you give him. And when you put him on notice, you might bend me, but I'm not going to let you break me. Truth be told, and I'm going to tell it, the enemy doesn't have enough power to blink you out, drive you out, push you out, drag you out, talk you out, convince you out of the will of God. The only power he has is what you give him. You hear me? 18 years. This woman refused to give up. She refused to give in to the enemy. She said, I will not let you. I know she said it with attitude, because when I talk to him, I get an attitude. If you miss Christian Academy this morning, you miss me explaining our attitudes. Here's your second freebie. If you keep looking up, eventually you will straighten up. I'm not telling you what somebody told me now. I'm telling you what I know. Because see, I've had a lot of bent over situations. But I refuse to keep looking at my feet. Because the word says I will look to the hills. Hills are not down on the ground. I will look to the hills from whence cometh my help, because my help comes from the Lord. And then it went a little further and said, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father. Glory be to God. 18 years. You think this woman didn't get tired of going Sunday after Sunday to the house of God, bent over going in? And bent over coming out. I want you to do something for me. I want all y'all to stand up. That's able to stand up. Don't convince yourself you're not able to stand up. Because God is watching you. I want each of you to bend over. If you bend over. Like you're touching your toes, let your arms hang down. I just want you to give me 2 minutes. Bend over like you're touching your toes. Bend over as far as you can go. And while you're bending, stay like that for 2 minutes. I'm going to let you up. Imagine year one, going into God's house, bent over. 52 Sundays, coming out of God's house, bent over. Year two, bent over, going in God's house. Bent over, coming out of God's house. Year 3 through 10, bent over, going in God's house. Bent over, coming out of God's house. Years 11 through 18, bent over, going in God's house. Bent over, coming out of God's house. You can sit down now. Imagine. Some of you experience dizziness. Some ears start ringing. Some experience blood rushing to your head. Some felt pressure in your diaphragm, strain on your spine. Some felt it difficult to breathe. So imagine what it must have been like for this woman to live bent over 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 12 months a year for 18 years. Scripture says, but she still made her way to the house of God. That's excellence, y'all. You want to know what an excellent life looks like? Look at this woman. That's a surrendered life. Look at this woman. That's a committed life. Look at this woman. That's what loving God looks like. 18 years, double bent over, and she still made her way into God's house. 18 years, she pressed. But you can't come to God's house because you woke up this morning with a headache. 18 years, she pressed. But you can't come to God's house because you got a cold. 18 years, she pressed. But you can't come to God's house because it's too cold outside or it's too hot outside. It's overcast and Arthur came to visit, so I can't go to church this morning. 18 years, she pressed. But you can't come to God's house because you too tired. So you put your whole house on lockdown. 18 years. She pressed, but you can't come to God's house because right now I'm trying to think of an excuse. If you came to Bible training, you would know that God has already equipped you with everything you need to win every battle that you will ever encounter in this life. You say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. But you don't have enough greater is he to press your way to God's house to worship him every Sunday, to God's house to glorify him every Sunday, to God's house to exalt him for all he's done for you, your spouse, your children, your parents, your siblings, your aunts, uncles, cousins, neighbors, friends. Something is wrong, church. Scripture didn't say that this woman was homeless. It didn't say she was hungry. It didn't even say she couldn't fend for herself. What it does say is that this woman was bent over double, but she pressed her way to God's house. She didn't punk out on God, and neither should you. You've already been given the authority in the name of Jesus to speak to that thing that has you in bondage. Whatever has you in bondage, you demand in the name of Jesus that it release you right now. Demand it release your children. Demand it release your marriage. Demand it release your health. Demand it release your bills. Demand it release your finances, your friendships. Demand it release your job. Whatever it is, you demand in the name of Jesus for that thing to be released. Over 3,000 years ago, Jesus bore all of our sins and our iniquities on the cross. Over 3,000 years ago, Jesus set us free. So none of you have any business living in bondage. Deuteronomy 28, 13 through 15 and verse 21 says, the problem is if you listen to the commands of the Lord your God and carefully obey them, you will lend to nations, but you will never borrow from them. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. And you will always have the upper hand. But if you refuse to listen to the Lord your God, the Lord himself, hallelujah, will send against you curses, confusion, disappointments in everything you do until you are completely destroyed. That is the word from God. So hear me, saints. Obedience brings freedom through Christ Jesus. So if Jesus really is Lord and Savior of your life, then you are in no ways powerless. You are powerful in Christ Jesus. So stop being a hefty garbage bag. Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy. Stop talking about that mess. Stop complaining, mumbling about it. Stop grumbling about the daggone thing. Take authority and speak to it. You need to tell that thing. Somebody got to leave and it ain't gonna be me. Jesus told us, he said, you. And you, and you, and you, and you. He said, do greater. But you're scared. And because you're scared, look at our society. Will the real Christians please stand up? You're scared. Because you're scared, blinded eyes still blind. Because you're scared, deaf ears are still silent. Because you're scared, the lame is still being pushed around in wheelchairs. People possessed with demons still acting crazy. Songwriter said, God can't use no coward soldier. He don't want no coward soldier. Because he can't use no coward soldier. 18 years. This woman was determined to be healed. She didn't know when. She didn't know how. She didn't know why. But she knew who. That's why she kept coming to God's house. You see, the more she heard about God, the more she was convinced that she would be healed. 18 years, church. Tired. Worn. In pain. Rejected. Scorned. But still determined. And look at God. Her determination paid off. On her 936th Sunday, she was healed. Hear me, church. Now the people say he may not come when you want him. But he always on time. Thank you, sister. I'm ready to close. But I need you to remember. It's okay if the enemy bend you. But it's up to you not to break. Know that the pressures of this life, they are not here to kill you. The pressures of this life are here to make us stronger. So I don't care what it looks like. And I don't care what it feels like. Because serving God ain't a feeling. And I don't care what it appears to be. I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. If you don't care what it looks like, and if you don't care what it feels like, and if you don't care what it appears to be, whose report are you going to believe? I didn't hear you. Bend, don't break. This is your call to discipleship. Jesus invites all of us to come. The word says, who can be saved? Anybody that desires to be saved can be saved. Jesus says, come to me, and I will in no wise turn you away. So if there's 1, 2, 5, 10, 20, 50 in here that has not accepted Jesus as their Lord, I'm asking you to come. And if you accepted him as Lord but didn't accept him as Savior, you still don't have anything. Because he has to be both. He has to be Lord and Savior. That's total commitment. That's total surrender. So I'm asking you to come. If you're scared to come by yourself, hold up your hand. I'll come meet you. And then if that invitation does not apply to you, if you're willing to admit, God, I didn't do it all right, and I want to be in the right fellowship with you, I don't want to live another day without being restored back to you. God, I don't rest like I used to. And God, there's something not in my life that it's not lining up with the word of God. So God, I'm going to come to you right now. I want you to cleanse me. If that's you, I'm asking you to come. Thank you, Sister Ada. Yeah, you can pray at in your seat, but God honors when you are not ashamed. He said, if you're not ashamed of me before man, I won't be ashamed of you before my Father. And you all know, truth be told, we all need to be restored. So why do you Sunday after Sunday continue to sit in your seats, living the life pleasing to God? We all fall short. Restoration is just saying, God, I didn't quite do what everything I was supposed to do, and I recognize I didn't. So I'm going to come, and I just want fresh anointing. I just want to be cleansed right now, because I don't want my next minute to be in the state that I'm in now. I can't live like that anymore. That causes me to be bent over. And God, I'm coming to you before I break. If that's you, thank you, baby. I'm asking you to come. And if that invitation is not for you, the devil is a liar. You've been baptized. You think you did it all right all week long. But you need a church home. Then we have the invitation to come and be a disciple in this house. We don't accept members. because membership is not biblical. Jesus said, be a disciple. Be like me and go make more like me. So if you want to be a disciple and you don't have a church home, or if you want to be a disciple and you're in a home where you got membership, we'll be glad to disciple you. Glory be to God. Sister Ada, Sister Yvette, come right here. Their desires are already lifted to God. The one thing that I know about God is He knows your heart.